clap.
Ready?
All right. All right. 3, 2, 1.
One.
And on our little text message, that was not like 9mm coming at you. Like, I was not threatening to shoot you.
I figured it was I'm coming, not 9mm
yeah,
coming.
Yeah. I don't know how Swipe has decided that I'm could potentially mean 9mm.
Maybe an assassin has been using your phone without your knowledge.
You know what? That's a really smart idea, so that they can communicate and law enforcement would believe it's me.
Mm-hmm.
But I promise, within the last 5 years, I have not been assassinating anybody.
I believe you. I believe you. Within the last five? Why 5 years?
Look, I'm just an honest guy, you know.
Good to know.
Just an honest guy. So just throwing it out there that the possibilities 5 years and beyond are different. I was a different person, you know,
mm-hmm.
a different time in my life. And no, I'm joking. I have never ever assassinated somebody outside of the video game world.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm right there with you.
I started playing Fallout 4 because it's free with the PlayStation Now subscription that mm-hmm. I got, like the Xbox Game Pass, you know,
yep.
with their big game library. And so I started playing Fallout 4 because it was the only downloadable one. Fallout 3, which Brian said is like his favorite, was for streaming only. And there's still a little bit of lag, even though like I've got really good Wi-Fi and really good internet. Some of these games that you stream from these services, there's still a little bit of lag. And I knew that shooting games like Fallout, lag is like bad. It's like deadly for you, like in
yeah.
certain situations. So I got 4 instead, and I'm actually having more fun, like, setting up the set. Have you ever played any of them?
Mm-mm.
Oh, part of the gameplay is, as you're, like, rescuing people, you can set up settlements.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, assign jobs to people to scrounge stuff, to harvest food. And, like, I've been having fun, like, developing my little settlements and where my rescued people go to. And it's a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun game. Yeah.
I mean, it's a famous game, so I'm assuming that there's a reason for it, that it's actually pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you interrupted what I was saying. I was saying good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings with Kyle and
Jammer. You know, technically I didn't interrupt you. I actually started talking before you started talking. It's just the lag. We blame the lag. Let's blame that.
Okay, let's blame that. You're not an asshole, just computer lagging is an asshole.
No, yeah, pretty much.
Dude, I'm so, so upset. Yeah, it's two things that I'm really, really upset about.
Mm-hmm.
One, I forgot to do an April Fool's Day joke on yesterday's
site.
Show, on yesterday's show.
Oh, show, yeah, right.
Yeah, no. You took care of the April Fool's Day thing. We went a little overboard 2 years ago when I ran it, and this year we kind of decided to do it a little bit differently.
That was 1 year ago. That was a year and a day ago, sir.
Oh, did I say 2 years ago?
Yeah,
I didn't mean to. Sorry, I didn't mean
to.
A year ago.
Don't apologize. I'm just being a dick.
My brain is, you know, it is what it is. I
mean, that's honestly, that's a mistake that anyone could make, because it was 2 April Fools ago. It's no big deal. I was just being a dick.
There you go. But I didn't do that. And I found out the disturbing news that Australians are fucking playing Final Fantasy VII right now.
Yes, that really set you off. You're not about that.
Pissed. And word came down that some other markets the pre-install is set for April 3rd. Tomorrow on Friday, the pre-install is set for then. Brian and I already did a whole episode on this. It had already broken street date in other places, and there were deluxe editions, like people with photos of like four, you know, a stack of four deluxe editions in what is obviously their houses. There's been words that some of the early markets that they went ahead and shipped to, people were just like, my store's going to be closed down, fuck it, I'm taking my copy. Like, all of this shit is going on, and Square Enix is still desperately like, no, North America, you will fucking wait till April 10th, you sons of bitches. You elected Trump, you assholes. You get to wait until the 10th. Whatever. I don't know. I'm livid. I'm sitting at home. Yeah, I'm having fun playing a game that's new to me. But do you know like what I would rather be doing? I would rather be playing Final Fantasy VII right now. So yeah, I'm currently in a let's go to war with Australia type mindset just over a video game.
Yeah, that's funny. I can't. I feel bad because I'm very much of the mindset. I'm like, at this point, it's a video game. That's basically where I'm at right now with the state of the world. I'm just like, that's fine. Yeah, we could wait.
Do you not understand what could happen to me in a week?
That's true. I guess anything could happen.
I have to go out occasionally, or my family goes out occasionally to you know, restock on some foods or something like that. We try to get it to where only my wife or I go by ourselves, so we don't expose all three of us at once to the potential dangers.
I mean, but the reality is, if one of you guys has it, you're not even gonna.
Yeah,
it's not even a good chance. It's basically it's gonna happen because you're interacting with each other during its dormant period when it's still contagious.
Right, but we do try to practice some things, like we do what we can. We mm-hmm. wash our hands. We
absolutely use the do sanitizer. What you can. Yeah.
We use Lysol in the house, so we do what we can to kill off anything that may have gotten on us but didn't quite get in us yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we've basically go overboard. We wash our hands, obviously. When we get back from the store, we wipe everything down outside, and we do all kinds of, and then we like. I shower after the fact just because, and I'm just like, it's gotten to that point where I'm just like, all right, I'm not even going to, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do every precaution I possibly can.
But yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about like over the next week, I get it and I get a moderate case because I can play video games through a mild cold.
I mean, you know, it's not a mild cold, but okay.
No. Some people have had really, really mild symptoms sure. with it, where they have described it like just having a cold.
Right.
Some people, not everybody.
Yeah. That is the weirdest thing with this whole thing. It's like everyone has, there's such a diverse range of symptoms. You don't even know.
Yep. So I can play through a mild cold. I can still play through that. You know, I choose, blow my nose. Okay. Good to go. I can play. Some of the moderate symptoms that I've been reading about, I might try to power through and through fits of coughing and stuff like that. But the worst part is if I get it, I have to be quarantined to my office, and I've only got a little 32-inch 720p TV.
Oh my
to play
god!
On.
Cry me a river.
So
cry me a fucking river.
So I need this game now because of what the future may hold.
Jammer, I mean, at the end of the day, like you do have your health issues, but I don't think any of them are related to your autoimmune system, right?
No, thankfully, and I need some wood to knock on. I think that's made out of wood,
right?
I have a fairly straight good immune system. I get the. Every school year, Lucas catches something over the first like month and brings it to the house, and we all will get a cold. And I, you know, it's a couple days with a cold and done and over with. So all of my other issues are my body just falling apart, rebelling against me, and I can't stop hitting my head. So
Yeah. Well, not to make the situation a little more serious, I do want to say we do have someone in the LRM family who may have it at this point. He's currently in the hospital. Gig, he's our main interviewer who does all of our stuff on our YouTube channel and all of our long form interviews, or a lot of them at least. He is currently in the hospital. He's been sick for a while, and I guess now he's realizing it could be that. So he's in the hospital. So thoughts and prayers out to him, because
definitely
that's terrifying. I know he's very concerned because of his other health stuff that he has going on. So please put out your thoughts and prayers to him.
Hit him up at what's his Twitter at LRM.
It's Gigpata. No, Gigpata. It's GigPatta.
There you go. Send him some well wishes. Especially if you've ever watched any of his interviews, and seen when he tries to time his backwards glance at the camera so he can use that as his thumbnail and gets his goofy little smile. Yeah. He's a good guy. He really is. And all of our thoughts and good vibes and prayers and all that stuff go out to him. So yeah, if you don't follow Gigpata on Twitter, just type in his name, give him a follow, and wish him well.
Yeah. So sorry, I didn't mean to make that super serious, but it's hard to.
Yeah, no.
It's admittedly ruined my day. It's totally ruined my day. Obviously, I'm not personally affected, like physically, so that's nothing compared to what he's going through. But man, it's what a bummer. That's just it's amazing how this sort of sets a foundation of anxiety, at least for me, that I'm just it just makes every little thing just hurt that much more.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. When it's somebody that you know, even like I know him just through interactions here at LRM, and even that, I'm like, damn, that really sucks, you know? Shit.
Yeah.
My sister, she has a friend she went to college with that ended up getting it. I think she's already on recovery. It was a couple weeks ago, and I think she's on recovery. So there are people getting it, and it is in my city, and it is in my metropolitan. I live in a metropolitan area, so there's like a bunch of cluster of cities together that don't really have a real border. And so there's dozens and dozens of cases in my metropolitan area. And same with Stefan. And there's actually been more deaths on his side of the area than on our side. So yeah.
Is it an SES thing?
Ladies and gentlemen. What's that?
Is it an SES thing, like a social economic status thing? Like the poorer people, there's more death on that side than on the other?
You know what? Two of the poorest cities in our area are on his side of it, but there's also off areas. There's a university, a medical campus, and some really well off areas over there as well, so I'm not quite sure where the deaths have been at. Our area's got everything going on throughout the cities. There's legitimate gentrification going on, which is always sad to see, and then there's what some call a renaissance going on, to where the demographics aren't really changing as much, but the right people are getting the right things done to clean areas up and entice similar demographics into the area, especially those demographics that want to be business owners into that area. So it's really a unique place where we live. I love living here. So it's always kind of hard talking about where we live, because we don't really want to give away just everything online for safety reasons. I say a lot of things that piss people off, so I don't need you tracking me down. Anyways, I heard you liked Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It was like not super special, but it was kind of what I wanted at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out for me pretty well. I thought it was just a fun, predictable, warm story.
Adorable
story. And it was, I have no real, like, it wasn't well written. Like the opening scene, it's hard not to roll your eyes at the opening scene, because it's literally something, it's just so cliche the way it's played mm-hmm. out. But it doesn't matter, as long as, you know, that does sort of enough to make you care about the characters. It really doesn't matter. So that's kind of a testament to that. I enjoyed the movie more than I enjoyed Detective Pikachu, which
really?
Is surprising to me. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're a big Pokemon guy, so it has that going for it.
I mean, I'm like a pretty good Pokemon guy. I'm not a huge Pokemon guy. I like Pokemon. I grew up with it, but like,
yeah.
I'm not like, oh my God, Pokemon.
Yeah, you're not like sweating.
I'm not sweating over it. I'm not like you and Cam with Star Wars. I mean, I'm more Star Wars than I am Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, that's the proper way to be.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, just to put it into perspective, like, it's not like it's not like it's my thing by any stretch of the imagination. I left it mostly in my childhood and occasionally dip back in the games. But even the more recent game, I was like not a super fan of.
It's a solid RPG. The original games are solid RPGs.
Yeah, they were my exposure to RPGs back in the day.
Hold on 1 second. Pause. What? Hold on. I might have to kill my son. Apparently the cats decided to have a fight right at my door and it was pounding. So I will just start over again with it's a nice RPG. Here we go. They're actually really decent RPGs, like the original, Red and Blue/Green, depending if you played the Japanese version, and even the Fire Red and Leaf Green.
I mean, like, for me, they were my first turn-based RPGs that I played, and I didn't realize that was like my first exposure. I was like, this is weird, back in the day, like back I was I think 10 years old. And then from there, my first other more standard RPG was I think it was Final Fantasy 6 or 3 at the time, or at least 3 in America at the time, on Super Nintendo. So I think that's how that went. Or was it that? It may have been something else before that, but it was around that. But yeah, that was, it's surprisingly strong, and it was definitely unique for the time. But yeah, like, my problem with the Pokemon franchise is just they don't take enough risks, and it's really annoying. So like the last one that came out, I got 10 hours in and I'm just like, I think I've had my fill. I don't feel the need to go in and
not enough changes other than adding new creatures to catch.
Yeah, there are some other things, but yeah, it's just not enough. It's not enough. Like, I wanted like a gameplay overhaul. You know, I wanted like from Skyward Sword to Breath of the Wild status overhaul. Like, make some changes. You know, give us like a cool looking turn-based battle system. Have us fight multiple monsters at a time. Have us maybe change up the types. Maybe just do some other stuff with the battle system rather than just make it a standard, you know, turn-based combat. I don't know. Do something with it. And they haven't, and it's really like, okay, well, I'm just not going to play this until they do that. Cause from what I understand, it's just, it doesn't seem like they're going for the evolution as much as they are going for the, incremental improvements, which is disappointing. Yeah.
And then you have the whole, Pokedex issue with the last ones where they're like, we're not shoving all 5,000 creatures we've ever created.
And I don't mind that, actually. As someone who, like, to me, like, the monster, catching thing, like, I've never been a completionist. Yeah. I've never been the person who has to catch them all. It's just, like, I'll catch a bunch of them, and then at some point I'll get
bored.
Train up a good team, and then at one point I'll get bored and then just move on. So, like, I don't care that they didn't include all of them. And honestly, maybe it's a good thing for balance issues, but to me, that was just a indication of their overall mentality at Game Freak for one reason or another, that it's more about, it just felt lazy. It felt lazy. Like, yes, it was well made, but it was lazy.
I always treated my team as like a Final Fantasy team, so I wanted a little bit of everything on there, something that could deal with, you know, something big from each type. And
right, that's the approach that you have to take, or you have to at least try, you know, to have a well-rounded team, so that if you have a specific type, that you have another one that can take on that type in one way or another.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Well, enough talk about Pokemon. I actually want to talk about get your opinion on something Brian and I talked about yesterday, I believe. So we had we talked about DC deciding that it looks like through June that they're not going to be doing any paper orders at all, or the books that they are going to do are going to be refundable. There was some talk about doing digital first, and of course there's individual state holds, there's all this stuff going on, but DC and Marvel basically have said, hey, look, we're not gonna put things on paper and not have you guys sell them. We can't do that. You know, we pay money to print books, pay money to ship books. You guys pay us money for that. And if you can't sell the books, why are we sending them out to you guys? And Brian and I were wondering, is that the end of the local comic book shop? To where the only thing you're really going to have left is, yeah, you'll still be able to order print maybe directly from them. Maybe some of the big names like Midtown Comics might survive. One guy did not like the title of the article and took state with maybe our I don't know if he actually listened to it. Reading through some of his comments, I'm not sure he really listened to what Brian and I were saying, because he's like, how are DC and Comics and Marvel being blamed? Well, we went into that in the conversation. Do you think, knowing what I'm talking about, do you think local comic shops, do you think that this virus will all but kill them?
Maybe. I guess I don't know enough about the current financial state of comic book shops. I know that they've diversified quite a bit. You know, they don't rely solely on comics. They also do like board games and stuff.
They sell pop figures and board games. Yeah.
And they have like board game tournaments and things like that. They host events and all that stuff.
Some of them
do.
So, not all of them. Yeah.
Sure. Maybe the ones that exclusively do comic books. Yeah, I think so. I think the more you're relying on comic books, this might be the last thing that does it. But for all I know, maybe the people who run some of those shops are doing well with their bookkeeping and are able to stay closed for a couple of months without it negatively affecting business or without it killing them. But, you know, I think a lot of people will, or a lot of businesses will be done. I think this is definitely going to take a sizable chunk out of them. And I think that's sad, but at the same time, inevitable. It's kind of the way
go.
Yeah. Not just businesses, but just like industries come and go, you know, along with, as the world changes and we evolve how we consume things, it sucks. But I'm not really a huge fan of, I don't know, bolstering up archaic business practices for the sake of it because we like it. Like, I don't see, you know, I, as much as I enjoy the idea of quote unquote film, I don't see the reason to like, oh, we need to preserve the medium of film, like the actual physical filming on film type of thing.
Yeah, if you're not filming on film, you're a bad filmmaker, because you're not helping us preserve film. That type of mentality,
right? And the idea that we need to take active steps to preserve it, or, you know, invest a lot of money, or basically subsidize it in some way. I don't like that too much, because it just delays the inevitable. Yes, there are people who love it, and yeah, that sucks. There will probably always be a small market for, you know, comic book shops, you know, maybe people like Kevin Smith who are able to, you know, take a little bit of a hit because they have other ventures that they're in. This is basically, their name, and it's a business, right? And that they can take that hit, or they have other streams of income that help the shop. They'll survive. But yeah, other than that, I think this could be it, just kind of like how this could be the big start of the way we change theaters and how that is done as well. Like it's this is basically an opportunity. Yeah, exactly. This is like an opportunity for businesses or companies that are putting out content to experiment with different ways to do that. And it sucks, but it could be innovate. But sucks, but it could. I mean, yeah, this could be done. I don't know what else to say. I'm not an expert. I don't know comic book shops. Specifically, you know, intimately. I very rarely visit comic book shops. I've never really felt the need to visit comic book shops. Most of the comic stuff I get is either digital or it's like something I may pick up at a Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, so that's, and you're big on manga instead. So
yeah, exactly.
Bring it back around to movie theaters. I had an idea the other day. I know we've thrown around and discussed the idea of studios purchasing theater chains and using that to their advantage.
I hate that idea so much.
I know you do. Have you ever considered the idea of AMC, what's another big one, Regal, Cinemark starting their own video on demand services, if it looks like the market's going to go that way? And what do you think about that idea?
I mean, are they able to actually implement the infrastructure? Because it's like, it's not like you just say, hey, I VOD service.
No, you gotta have a server, server stacks and connections, and you gotta build a software and an interface and all that.
I mean, can they compete with like Comcast, the cable companies? Can they compete with the cable companies? The answer is no, because they don't have cable access. Like, I guess you can make an app for yourself, but what are you offering differently from the other guys? I guess that would be the ultimate question. So my guess would be no, that would not be successful unless they were willing to take a big hit, or maybe even have them all merge together, pool their resources, and then have that be sort of the big name, and then somehow make an attractive offer to the studios together, and then basically all take a cut in that way. That would maybe, but they have to do something better than what's currently being done, and I don't know what that would be, because it's already really easy to go on iTunes. It's already easy to go on like VOD, you know, depending on whatever your cable provider is. It's already easy. Like I don't know where that's not even like an innovation. That's just following a trend and ultimately not even doing it as well as the guys who are already doing it.
And the reason why I asked is because a lot of movie studios themselves are owned by these major companies like NBC Universal, for example, Comcast, Disney, of course, owns its own streaming service. A lot of movie studios are wrapped up in companies that either already have their own streaming service or are potentially releasing their own streaming service here in the near future. And I brought up that idea last week, where Disney could, I think they could easily put a paywall on Disney Plus and put theatrical movies behind that paywall, where even subscribers already, you have to pay.
It's like there's,
to get at it. And then they get 100% of the profits. But then they just, Sony did their thing where they just pushed everything to the right. Brian, I think that's what Marvel's going to do, is they're going to hope that things are good enough come November that they can put Black Widow in the Eternals place and literally just push every other movie to the right one.
Here's the thing, is I still think that studios are very risk averse. There was a study that was done that at 50, I think it was, and I'm saying this wrong, like the specific numbers are going to be a little bit off.
Right.
But at like $50 for the price of a quote unquote movie ticket, or for a download for 48 hours or something, they would need like 20 to 30 million downloads, and in order to make $1 billion, you know, basically the equivalent of a $1 billion movie. And it is just unknown at this point if that is physically possible, if audiences are willing to do that. And I am surprised at the seeming unwillingness to experiment more. Like, you have those movies that came out already throwing on there. onto digital services. You have Trolls World Tour, but other than that, it's like everyone seems to be just pushing their movies with the mm-hmm. seeming intent on, you know, having theaters still be a part of their big strategies.
Stick into that archaic technology, like you were saying, that archaic business model.
I understand where they're coming from. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I don't mind the fact that they're doing it because that's the company's deciding. That's the company's deciding for themselves that that's the business they want to take. But it's more of just like, I don't know. Like, I'm just surprised that they're not taking a little bit more risks with that. I get it, but I'm a little bit surprised. So as far as theaters go, I think from a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, my thought that they would actually start experimenting more, I think it's just not as correct as I thought. I'm sure there will be steps taken, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as much as I hoped or anticipated. So that's, I don't think theaters are going anywhere anytime soon. And if they shrink, they are going to shrink on some level, but it's not going to be nearly as bad as, you know, the whole industry collapsing. It's not going to be what's happening to comic book shops. I think comic book shops are going to be way more affected.
Yeah, I agree. A couple weeks ago, I thought experimenting would happen more. I really, mm-hmm. really did think we would see Black Widow behind a paywall on Disney Plus. The biggest risk to all of that, of course, though, is piracy. You already have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people willing to watch a movie recorded on a camera secretly at a theater instead of go seeing the movie at a theater. Imagine the amount of piracy of full HD copies that are put on video on demand. I think piracy is like a big thing that they're afraid of. And
I think they're incorrectly afraid, because I think if it's easy to get access to a movie, most people are generally willing to pay to get it.
So you think that the actual act of getting up, going to the theater, being with a crowd, sticky floors, is what causes some people to pirate?
They just don't have time. Well, they just don't have time for it. Like, they have to plan their day around
and
it.
Stuff like I do.
Right, and not only that, but like, even I'm thinking even lazier than, like, they just don't want to have to, like, for example, they get it or they go there, they have to carve out 3 hours of their day. Whereas with this, it's like they download it and they can watch, you know, half of it now, half of it later, or a third of it and a third of it later. Like, they could spread it out and just do it on their time. And so I think that is a big factor, because I think people, like I said, it's more about convenience than it is anything else. And I think from my experience, it's pretty easy to get a high definition version of most big movies relatively soon after they come out, like a day or two. Not all of them, but like some of them. I feel like a lot of them are.
If somebody leaks a screener disc or something like that.
So I think it's pretty easy to get those types of things anyway. So it's not like it's that big of a difference. I think the big the high profile ones, like maybe Avengers Endgame and stuff, maybe are the big difference. And maybe that would add to it. But I really do think it's a convenience thing for most people, not everyone. Obviously, there are always people who are going to pirate no matter what. I just think it's not as big of a problem as a lot of people in Hollywood think. And that it is about convenience.
I'm going to try to see if I can't find these numbers, because you got me curious now about...
I mean, yeah, I might be... I know that for me, that from the anime industry, and I feel like the anime industry had to pivot a lot harder because they were hungrier for those dollars because the audience is smaller. And from what I know from back then, and again, behaviors may be different because different demographic, different audience, but it was just people, it was all about convenience. It was all about accessibility more than anything else. It's more like, can I find this? Do I know it's available legally?
Not just that, the ridiculous price they were charging us. And you could actually, in some ways, you could find somebody that lived in Japan and have them purchase it for you and mail it to you for cheaper than you could buy it in the U.S. You know?
Aniplex is the worst. Yeah, Aniplex, I don't know if you know them. They price gouge.
They were the ones that did FLCL, weren't they? Here in America, where maybe. It was like two episodes per disc, and it was $30 for two episodes. It was ridiculous.
Was that the recent one or the original?
the original. I mean, I remember going to
Suncoast a different time. That was seeing it. That was like, the earliest 2000s.
Shit.
That was the early 2000s. That was a different time. I think the mid to late 2000s to were when things changed, where it became about like putting in 13 episode box sets for like $40, and that became a thing. And then obviously a streaming was another thing. So I think that changed quite a bit. Now, what really bothers me now is when Aniplex releases, you know, $80 Blu-rays. It's like, just release it online. Just release it online. Come on.
That and you know me, I'm big on a lot of Japanese rock bands, and some of their stuff makes it to the U.S. Amazon Music, but not all of it. And I would love to get some of their live Blu-rays and other CDs that haven't been released. But shit, man, I can't see paying $50 American to get a 12-song CD, you know.
Hell to the nah. Nah.
Anyways, a lot of good, fun conversations for a Thursday morning. I appreciate you being back where you're supposed to be on my show every day.
Yeah.
Slacker.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. It was good to talk to you as always. Ladies and gentlemen out there, again, keep Gig in your thoughts. Give them a follow on Twitter and tell them that you're hoping for the best for him. He is a great guy and a great asset to the LRM Online family, because that's what we are here. We're a family, including you guys, our listeners and readers. So leave us some comments. Tell us what you think about the topics we're covering, you know, your particular opinion on whatever we talked about, but also leave us some comments on what you would like to see from the site, and help us to help you, because without you there is no us. Make sure you're checking out the website lrmonline.com every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions, and of course that YouTube channel that we were talking about with so many wonderful celebrity interviews, mostly from Gig. And Los Fanboys is now live on Facebook on Fridays. So hop on, join in the conversation, bug us while we are talking, and we're still working on it. It will only improve as the weeks go by. You can also can't catch it live. You can catch it on the LRM Online Podcast Network, along with great shows like Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, LR Mornings, LRM's Top 5, and Geek Scholars Movie News, What to Watch This Weekend. And of course, it's accessible through the homepage, lrmonline.com, but not through the same podcast network, Nerdflix and Chill, and The Comic Source. All great entertainment, guys. We have literally hundreds of hours of stuff for you to crawl through. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, and all of my novels under the name AJ Serna on Amazon. Which actually, I'm in the midst of a sale on, which you can get each book for 99 cents. So check it out.
Good job. Go do it. Get it. And you really, really do phase out, because it takes you a second to even understand that I just asked you to plug yourself.
Phase out.
While I'm doing the plugs for.
Oh, no, that's a lag. That's a lag, son.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, it is.
Anyways,
it is.
You guys can find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Give me a follow, and I follow back. So, yeah, appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.